And we're pleased to bring you a special Federal Drive discussion in this 9 o'clock hour. We are changing our programming just for this hour, just for you. It's been over 1 year since the Government Performance and Results Modernization Act was signed into law. It created a new government-wide planning and reporting framework, quarterly priority progress reviews, and an annual process to eliminate duplicative and outdated practices. So what are the agencies doing differently under GPRA modernization, and how are they faring? We're going to ask our expert panel. Our guests today are Lisa Danzig, Director of the Office of Strategic Planning and Management at Housing and Urban Development, Seth Harris, Deputy Secretary of Labor, Robert Shea, Principal at Grant Thornton and former Associate Director for Administration and Government Performance. It's great to have you all in the studio. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
Pleasure to be here.
All right, I'm going to throw the first question to Robert Shea because you come from an OMB background and maybe kind of have the overall view. How do you think GPRA modernization is playing out?
You know, I think it is quite early yet. The hope is that we would, really see regular data-driven, evidence-based reviews and that those would impact program performance. I don't think we've had a lot of time to see whether or not it's working, but you do have more frequent internal meetings to review progress, and you've got a framework on the internet on which you hope to see performance being reported. There's a great opportunity. GAO released a report that I know y'all have reported on overlap and duplication, 51 areas of overlap and duplication in the government, probably tip of the iceberg. But GAO reports on 5 areas that are fixed.
Are you a civilian employee of the intelligence community, the Department of Defense?
And that's something to celebrate. I know it's a small number, but these are really intractable challenges, getting multiple agencies to collaborate towards a common objective. So I'm glad to see that report.
Well, one of the things you mentioned, Robert, was the quarterly reports. I know something that Deputy Secretary Harris, we've talked about previously, is you guys are one of the more aggressive ones around those quarterly reports. But let me just ask a quick question to Robert. That's not necessarily news. That's something that's been happening throughout the last two or three administrations, or they weren't necessarily quarterly, but they were, because I think when you guys had the PMA scorecard, that was still called for certain levels of reviews.
Yes, and you'll find that the GPRA Modernization Act is a good blend of past administration practices. It's really built on an executive order that President Bush signed and the high priority goals initiatives and evidence-based initiatives of the Obama administration. So a lot of those practices come together. Quarterly meetings are something we tried to drive hard. A law really brings a new discipline to those kinds of things. And so long as they're focused on the practical use of data and evidence to improve performance, then I think they can be really useful.
So let me shift over to Deputy Secretary Harris. Again, since you guys have been one of the leaders around those quarterly reviews, is the quarterly reviews driven by GPRA modernization, or is it a benefit, meaning you guys were doing this already, and GPRA just adds some puts a framework around it?
Well, you're exactly right that it's something we've pushed very hard at the Labor Department since we arrived in 2009. Our practices and GPRA modernization really fit very well together. GPRA modernization is focused, as Robert was saying, on high priority performance goals. Our quarterly reviews focus on all of the metrics in the department, or most of the metrics, sort of the top line metrics in the department. So I review 238 metrics every quarter in the department across 13 line agencies and 6 service agencies. So our focus on performance management goes even deeper than what GPRA modernization required. I had already established myself pretty firmly as the chief operating officer, another requirement of GPRA modernization. But I think that the law is helpful in getting the attention of the senior leadership in the organization. But really, performance management has to be a culture within the organization and a regular practice that gets DNA of the organization, where focusing on how you're doing in the most important parts of the organization, and in some cases, some of the lower profile activities in the organization, is really how you turn an organization around. GPRA modernization started that, and I think encouraged it, but it's something we've been doing really since 2009.
And Lisa Danzig, Director of Office of Strategic Planning and Management at HUD, tell us how GPRA is playing out so far, the modernization, that is, 1 year in at HUD.
I would agree with a lot of the things that the Deputy Secretary said. I think that has really codified a lot of pieces that were starting in place, including quarterly reviews or performance reviews. But it's really helped us encourage alignment between our strategic planning and performance planning and budget planning, documentation, as well as meetings, and created the governance structure with our performance improvement officer, which I am serving in that role, and the chief operating officer to create the infrastructure to make this a really powerful tool. I think creating the quarterly reviews themselves has also added an increased accountability and frequency that is a tremendous help for us.
Now, HUD's had a challenge, and I think it's something that's well documented, that you guys, in terms of when you look at the employee viewpoint survey, when you look at some other things, HUD has had a lot, long way to go. Tell us, give us a little sense, do you see a culture change happening? I know Deputy Secretary Harris talked about GPRA modernization is great and all, but it's really the culture. Do you see that happening with Secretary Donovan?
Yeah, it's been tremendous to observe that. We clearly don't want to be last in the best places to work and have moved up one rating to second to last, which is some progress. But we review a lot of those metrics in these quarterly reviews. We call it Goal 5, Transforming How HUD Does Business. And you can see that turning around in terms of both the data getting better, people being more open and vocal about some of the challenges, and real progress being made. So we're excited about that.
Now, often Congress likes to have what in the military they call a belly button to push, some point person in an agency, the PIO, the Performance Improvement Officer. Let's start with you, Ms. Danzig, at HUD. Is that you, or who is it? Who's the point person? Whose belly button do they push on performance issues?
Well, I've never been proud to say that I'm the belly button, but I am the performance improvement officer, and so I am the person leading this effort. But I think that there are a lot of other key roles, including the goal leads for each of our agency performance goals, as well as the secretary, who's played an incredible leadership role in this, and our deputy secretary as a leader.
And are you the only person? I mean, not. No, you're not the only person. Is this your only job as PIO? I mean, is that all you do?
How many hats do you wear? He wants to know.
Several hats. This is not my only job. It's kind of one of the three main things I do. So,
okay.
Is that something? And let me bounce it over to Robert, since you guys, I think I know what you'll say, and Robert maybe will be a little more candid. Is that more of an issue that the PIO wears too many hats? I mean, when you were at OMB and the Bush administration, you guys really set up that PIO role, and GPR Modernization Act calls for someone to be the PIO. We did a survey recently, and basically what we found was many wear multiple hats, like you, Ms. Danzig.
We also did a study with the Partnership for Public Service in which we interviewed every PIO. And one of the things we found was that those PIOs that had limited additional responsibilities were more successful. I think that's really hard to find someone who's going to focus exclusively on this, especially if you want talent. I mean, one of the rules of Washington is that if you want something done, give it to a busy person. And so it'll be hard to really make this the exclusive responsibility of an individual. But we did find that if this was among the limited responsibilities of an individual, the performance improvement responsibilities got more attention, and they were, in the end, more successful.
And Deputy Secretary Harris, from your perspective as someone who probably gets to appoint that person as the PIO, how do you make that balance work in terms of making sure that someone like Ms. Danzig doesn't spend 33% of her time on performance issues and 66% of her time on her other jobs?
Right. We have a central staff of 10, working for our Assistant Secretary for Administration and Management, who are focused exclusively on performance issues and are integrated with our budget staff, because budget and performance obviously have to flow together. We also have dedicated staff within each of our constituent agencies who work on performance, not full-time in the agencies, but my staff of 10 and a full-time member of my immediate staff, the Deputy Secretary's immediate staff, work on performance issues and evaluation issues exclusively. So this is a very high priority for us. But let me also say, it's not enough to have a staff person, even at Lisa's level, who is dedicated to it full-time. It has to come from the very top of the organization. The folks in the Labor Department know that every quarter I'm going to read every word of every report that comes forward from the agencies. And I go line by line through those reports in quarterly production meetings with the leadership of each agency, the assistant secretary in each agency. So they know they've got to face up to the deputy secretary. And what I give back to them in return is I report back to the entire staff of the Labor Department on how we're doing. I've just put out a set of videos to the Labor Department staff, which describe some of our successes in fiscal 2011. We were tremendously successful in improving our performance in 2011, beating the last 5 years in some cases by tremendous numbers. So I report back to the staff and let them know not merely that they're doing a great job, but that the deputy secretary is watching and looking at how they're doing and hearing from their leadership how they're doing. So it's too much to ask of Lisa to be able to drag the entire organization. It's got to be a leadership team effort, and that's what we're trying to get at the department.
We're speaking with Seth Harris, Deputy Secretary of Labor, Lisa Danzig, Director of the Office of Strategic Planning and Management at Housing and Urban Development, and Robert Shea, Principal at Grant Thornton and former Associate Director for Administration and Government Performance at OMB. This is a Federal News Radio discussion about performance improvement under the Government Performance and Result Modernization Act, and we'll have more right after this break. I'm Tom Temin, along with Jason Miller, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Max out your privacy settings on social networks. Restrict as much as you can what people can see of you. Close all your old accounts. Chances are it's got an email that you've reused. They could guess the maiden name of your mother or your first pet or something.
Yeah.
A lot of the celebrities whose email accounts were hacked, their challenge question was something that you could look up on the Internet.
Stratford University's Tech Talk Radio, Saturday mornings from 9 to 10 on 1500 AM.
When every moment matters and a hand reaches out, when someone gives blood and a life is saved, that moment when heartbreak turns to hope, you're there through the American Red Cross. Every day, the Red Cross responds to nearly 200 neighborhood emergencies, and your support makes it possible. Use this moment to join us today. Visit redcross.org.
Are you a civilian employee of the intelligence community, the Department of Defense, or the Department of State? You may be eligible for term life insurance from GEBA, the Government Employees Benefit Association, with coverage issued by the Prudential Insurance Company of America. Term life insurance helps provide security for your family in case something happens to you. It's money to pay your mortgage or your children's college expenses, or help ensure your spouse can retire in comfort. GEBA's group life plan offers affordable rates with coverage amounts up to $600,000. Civilian employees of the intelligence community, the Department of Defense, or the Department of State. Don't let these exclusive benefits pass you by. Start planning today and get peace of mind for your family and protection for their future. Visit GEBA.com/term life to learn more or to download an enrollment form. That's GEBA.com/term life. Group term life coverage for GEBA is issued by the Prudential Insurance Company of America, 751 Broad Street, Newark, New Jersey, 07102. Contract series 83500.
Slow carbs, fast carbs. From the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, I'm Ira Dreyfuss with HHS HealthBeat. All carbs are not the same, and a study indicates the difference could affect a blood chemical associated with chronic conditions such as heart disease. At Seattle's Fred Hutchinson Cancer Research Center, Marion Neuhauser examined carbohydrate foods that digest more slowly, or slow carbs, and those that turn quickly into simple sugars, or fast carbs. She was looking at C-reactive protein, which is a marker of inflammation. It was lower among 40 overweight or obese people when they were on a slow carb eating pattern.
The source of the carbohydrate really does matter, and I would urge consumers to choose whole grains, non-refined grains, and so forth.
The study in the Journal of Nutrition was supported by the National Institutes of Health. Learn more at hhs.gov. HHS HealthBeat is a production of the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. I'm Ira Dreyfuss.
This afternoon between 3 and 7 on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. A computer system problem isn't stopping the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services from trying to cut waste, fraud, and abuse. CMS Deputy Administrator Jonathan Blum tells you how they're moving forward. Building a better cloud for your agency. Some insight on how the Pentagon's doing it from Dennis Wisnowski of DOD's Office of Business Transformation on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
It's 9:22. This is the Federal Drive with Tom Temin, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Welcome back to our Federal News Radio discussion. I'm Tom Temin, along with Jason Miller. We're getting an update on performance improvement under the Government Performance and Results Modernization Act. Our guests this morning are Robert Shea, principal at Grant Thornton and former associate director for administration and government performance at OMB, Seth Harris, deputy secretary of labor, and Lisa Danzig, director of the Office of Strategic Planning and Management at Housing and Urban Development.
Now, I want to start with something Deputy Secretary Harris said, almost gave you a promotion there. Hope Secretary Solis doesn't mind. You mentioned 238 metrics, and that seems like a huge amount. I know labor is a big organization, so maybe not. And then you mentioned also you read through the performance reports each quarter, line by line. I'm wondering if you have a big red pen. When Tom was the editor at Government Computer News, he had a big red pen that all the reporters were very afraid of. So, but when you go through it, give me a sense of how you look at those metrics and how you, when you go through the reports, are you commenting? What are you doing?
Right. I am not using a red pen because that's very 1990s. I am using track changes.
Now you tell me.
And I write very detailed comments about particular items in the production reports that I find interesting, praiseworthy, troubling. There are recurring questions over the course of many, many quarters. It's interesting that you focus on the number 238. When we came in, there were something in the vicinity of 125 metrics in the department, including annual outcome measures. We still have about 27 annual outcome measures that are not a part of our quarterly review. So our total measurement portfolio is about 265 metrics, and let me just say that's not enough. And in every meeting, we're talking about: is there more we need to do? Are there measures that need to be tweaked? We're trying to get a time series. We're trying to measure the same thing over time so we can see how we're progressing. But it's very important to measure everything that we do, because otherwise you're not getting a sense of how the organization is performing. Let me say that this is becoming a regular part of the way the department does business. In the beginning, folks really chafed at it. You know, nobody likes to be held accountable, and nobody likes to have to rat out their colleagues. But when it became clear that our production reviews were really a safe space for discussion about how we do more, how we do better, what are our priorities, what strategic choices should we make, where should our resources be invested, folks began to buy into it. I wouldn't say that there is enthusiasm for it, but it is a regular part of the way we do business. There's a lot less conflict and angst around it right now, and the discussions are incredibly rich about really what we are as an organization, who we're serving, and what we're trying to accomplish.
I think you made a key point there. You made a comment about no one wants to rat out their fellow, and that's the culture change that you're talking about. It's no longer ratting out. It's how can we raise all ships, the rising tide raise all ships. Let me shift over to HUD. And Ms. Danzig, you guys, how many measures do you have? And we were talking at break, you have the cool name HUDstat. Tell us a little bit about that program.
So it's true. We've started HUDstat in October of 2010, and we have 7 agency priority goals. We focus on a couple of key measures per goal, so it's about 20 or 30 priority measures that we're focused on. And then there's a set of supporting measures underneath that. I don't think we have 238, but a number that we're kind of trying to keep track of. So we're doing a similar process where we're evaluating what's our target for each quarter, how close are we to hitting that target, what are the reasons why we haven't hit that target, or why have we, really celebrating best practices and creating that safe space so that we're really talking about challenges and decisions. I think one piece of this that's really exciting is collaborating with the VA and bringing them in and jointly running some of our HUDstat meetings with the deputy secretary from the VA. So on one of our priority goals related to veterans homelessness, Secretary Donovan and Deputy Secretary Gould jointly run that process. And it's really a collaboration and back and forth exchange, which is really exciting and tremendously helpful.
And Mr. Shea, at OMB, when you were forming all this GPRA response back before the Modernization Act, was there a model for what is the right number of metrics? I mean, there's an old saying, you can't do more than 3 objectives and this kind of thing. 238 is a lot. 1 is probably not enough. Is there a right number?
I tell you, I'm inspired by this discussion, because you often hear that if you're measuring too many things, you're not measuring anything. But even though we're with 2 leaders at relatively small agencies in the government, you're talking about 2 of the largest, most complex organizations in the world that are impacting most Americans. This is not These are organizations with not small ambitions, doing lots of stuff with lots of partners. And so in order to get a handle on that, you're going to need a decent number of measures. Not too many, not too few. You need just the right amount of measures. But what Seth said cannot be understated. The importance of leadership, as Senator Warner calls them, performance nerds. You know, how do you find someone with dynamism and sufficient nerdiness to really get this? I think we've got two here, but there might be just six in the world. It's really important for people to take the time and the discipline to invest, to provide feedback. These reports, these meetings will never be perfect. You'll always give feedback that makes them better and better, but it takes time and discipline. And in this town, that's very rare.
We're speaking with Robert Shea, principal at Grant Thornton and former associate director for administration and government performance at OMB. Lisa Danzig, director of the Office of Strategic Planning and Management at Housing and Urban Development. And Seth Harris, the deputy secretary of labor. This is a Federal News Radio discussion about performance improvement under the Government Performance and Results Modernization Act. We'll have more right after the break. I'm Tom Temin, along with Jason Miller, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
At Kaiser Permanente, we're about keeping you connected. So we made My Health Manager. It connects you to your doctor, your prescriptions, your test results, and your health records right at home. But what if you aren't home? What if you're visiting family, or at the beach, or on a business trip? What if you're on a steep mountain trail, you know, with loose gravel and one way in and one way out? Now, there's the Kaiser Permanente mobile app. It connects you right from your smartphone. You can email your doctor while visiting family, refill your prescription from the beach, take your medical records on a business trip, or schedule, say, a little checkup from that steep trail. No matter where you are, we'll keep you connected without keeping you from any of life's adventures. Get the app by searching Kaiser Permanente in the Android market or bookmark kp.org on your smartphone. Coming soon to the Apple App Store, Kaiser Permanente. Thrive.
Kaiser Foundation Health Plan of the Mid-Atlantic States Incorporated, 2101 East Jefferson Street, Rockville, Maryland, 20852. Apple is a registered trademark of Apple Inc. Android is a trademark of Google Inc.
The Pentagon and Beyond is brought to you by EADS North America.
A senior Pentagon official apologized last week to Washington area Muslims for the burning of Qurans at a military base in Afghanistan. Peter Lavoie, acting Assistant Secretary of Defense for Asia and Pacific Security Affairs, said the military is investigating what happened and that all 140,000 coalition troops in Afghanistan are being retrained in the handling of religious materials. I'm J.J. Green.
Every day, EADS North America supports Homeland Security and defense missions here at home and around the globe. Over land and water, in our ports and at our points of entry, EADS North America provides critical solutions and systems that protect our borders and coastlines. Our vigilance is unwavering. Our commitment is steadfast. EADS North America. Commitment defines us.
Hi, this is O'Donna Matthews. What does three decades of service add up to? For the Capital Area Food Bank, it includes these important numbers. Distributing 25 million pounds of food to nearly 500,000 people through a network of 700 partner agencies. 30 years, it's a long time. But the mission continues to make sure that no one is left hungry. To learn more, contribute, or volunteer, visit capitalareafoodbank.org.
Government IT acquisition professionals get the knowledge you need to meet today's serious challenges. Join over 500 government and industry colleagues at Acquisition Excellence, March 29th at the Grand Hyatt downtown. This education and training event is presented by the General Services Administration and the American Council for Technology and Industry Advisory Council. Registration is limited, so don't wait. Register today at actgov.org. That's actgov.org. Look for the Acquisition Excellence link on the events page.
931. Welcome back to our Federal News Radio discussion of Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Tom Temin along with Jason Miller this morning. We're getting an update on performance improvement under the Government Performance and Results Modernization Act. Our guests are Robert Shea, principal at Grant Thornton, former associate director for administration and government performance, Seth Harris, Deputy Secretary of Labor, and Lisa Danzig, Director of the Office of Strategic Planning and Management at Housing and Urban Development. And Jason Miller has the first question.
First question of the day. Mr. Shea, when you started, one of the conversations that came up when Deputy Secretary Harris and Ms. Danzig were talking about was came to mind about output versus outcomes. One of the things that when you're at OMB, you guys really try to move the needle on is that idea of not just what's the output, but what are you trying to achieve? So give me a sense, are you starting to see that agencies have moved that needle a little bit?
I think so. This is a vocabulary thing. I mean, the whole premise of these laws is that government is not in place to just do stuff. They are in the business of impacting major challenges affecting the country. So my old boss, Mitch Daniels, likes to say in Washington, the theory is don't just stand there, spend something. That's not enough. And just issuing regulations or giving speeches, grants, contracts, those are activities that should produce outputs that lead to important outcomes that change education, home ownership, the workforce. These, we need to remind ourselves that all of these programs are about making an impact on major social problems. Very difficult, very long term. One of the most promising initiatives of the Obama administration is the Rigorous Evaluation Initiative, which is really studying what we're doing, isolating its impact from other factors so we can really build a body of evidence about the most effective practices and scale those up instead of continuing to invest in things that have not proven to work.
Let's talk a little bit about I want to go back one second. Maybe Deputy Secretary Harris, you can help a little bit. The Rigorous Evaluation Initiative, I tell you, I follow it fairly closely. Performance improvement, I hang out with maybe Shelley Metzenbaum too much. Give me a sense, what is that Rigorous Evaluation Initiative?
Let me start by saying you can't spend too much time with Shelley Metzenbaum. I think we can all agree on that. Robert's exactly right that the Obama administration has really made evidence-based decision-making a hallmark of its time in office, and something that we get pressure on from every element of the White House, not merely from Shelley and the folks at OMB. Evaluation is a very high priority in the department. We've actually created a chief evaluation office within the department with a chief evaluation officer. And it is, for us, critical to invest in evaluation in order to draw the link that Robert was talking about between outputs and outcomes. In some of our organizations, the output is the outcome. So when the Bureau of Labor Statistics puts out a data series, that's the output. It's also the outcome. When the Employment and Training Administration arranges for someone to get job placement assistance, the output is the assistance. The outcome is the person getting a job, their entered employment rate, we call it, and also whether they stay in the job and what they get paid in that job. So we have pretty good measures in those regards. But in some of our agencies, particularly our worker protection agencies, it's actually quite hard to know what the outcome is, and it requires more than simply counting what we do. Again, picking up on what Robert was saying, those are the outputs. We have to know, are the enforcement activities of the worker protection agencies, the compliance assistance activities of the worker protection agencies, resulting in employers and other regulated entities actually complying with the law? Well, that's not something that's easily counted within the department. Evaluation can help us to figure that out. So we have a substantial financial and personnel investment in evaluation. Our agencies each have 5-year learning plans that will take them on a course of evaluation that will eventually, hopefully over time, allow them to know whether or not the outputs they're producing are leading to the outcomes that we've promised to the American people.
One of the big challenges I've heard time and again with the government, I think it started with when Mr. Shea was over at OMB, is with a business, you know what your outcome is. It's profit. You either make a profit or you don't. With the government, there is no profit. At least, well, there shouldn't be unless if you work at GSA, but that's a whole different story. But let me ask Ms. Danzig, when you guys talk about outputs and outcomes, how do you deal with that? How do you balance those two things?
So I think both are really important. Outputs, obviously, you can measure a little more regularly. So having outputs to look at quarterly as leading indicators of the outcome is a pretty critical variable. I think a really good example is just going back to homeless veterans, and that is one of our agency priority goals. Initially, we measured the number of vouchers that we issued to homeless veterans, and we looked at that as kind of a pretty straightforward output. And then we developed that into a little bit more of a sophisticated output, looking at the utilization of vouchers. So of the number of vouchers on the street, how many of them are actually being used right now? So we had some sense of productivity. And then we took that a step further and said, okay, now we have a homeless count that we do every January, a point in time to figure out how many homeless veterans there are on the street. So what are the, what's the effect of this in terms of the number of vouchers on the street? So I think marrying all those pieces together to say, all right, how many vouchers are out there? What's the productivity of those vouchers in terms of how they're being utilized? And then every January, we get some sense of actually how effective those vouchers have been. And happy to report that in the last year, we housed 1 in 5 homeless veterans who'd been on the street. So pretty phenomenal direct results between, I think, those outputs and those outcomes.
We're speaking with Lisa Danzig, the Director of the Office of Strategic Planning and Management at Housing and Urban Development, Seth Harris, Deputy Secretary of Labor, and Robert Shea, Principal at Grant Thornton and former Associate Director for Administration and Government Performance at OMB. This is a Federal News Radio discussion about performance management and performance improvement under the Government Performance and Results Modernization Act. And we're going to have more after the break. I'm Tom Temin, along with Jason Miller, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
The leader in informational seminars on federal benefits, financial, and retirement planning. NITP was established in 1984 and is 100% devoted to federal planning seminars. The mission is to educate federal employees and enable them to make fully informed decisions regarding their financial futures and retirement options. Through a variety of teaching platforms and seminars, NITP has the experience to help with your planning needs. Visit NITPinc.com. That's NITPinc.com for more information.
When every moment matters and a hand reaches out, when someone gives blood and a life is saved, that moment when heartbreak turns to hope, you're there through the American Red Cross. Every day, the Red Cross responds to nearly 200 neighborhood emergencies, and your support makes it possible. Use this moment to join us today. Visit redcross.org.
Do you know someone who's done something outstanding in the field of human capital management? Nominate them for Federal News Radio's 3rd Annual Causey Awards. Together we'll call attention to what may be a best practice in government. Anyone can be nominated, career, political, and contractors working in the HR field. The award is named after Federal News Radio senior correspondent Mike Causey and his lifelong dedication to the reporting of management and federal pay and benefits issues. To nominate someone for the Causey Awards, go to federalnewsradio.com, search Causey Award.
As a manager, you need to know how you can make your organization more efficient. Listen for Management Friday on Federal News Radio. We bring you information on the keystone of success for any agency or business. Friday mornings at 10, listen for AFGE's perspective on inside government. Next at 11, Shaw, Bransford, and Roth talk about the legal implications of management decisions on Fed Talk. And at noon, listen for Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch to hear what career options may be available. Management Friday, only on Federal News Radio, 1500.
Welcome back to our Federal News Radio discussion on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, along with Tom Temin. We're getting an update on the performance improvement under the Government Performance and Results Modernization Act. Our guest today, Robert Shea, a principal at Grant Thornton and a former Associate Director for Administration and Government Performance, Seth Harris, the Deputy Secretary of the Labor Department, and Lisa Danzig, the Director of the Office of Strategic Planning and Management at the Department of Housing and Urban Development.
And I wanted to move on a little bit from all of the metrics and income and output discussion to talk about actual improvement. And farmers have an expression which has been picked up by school teachers, simply that you can't fatten a pig by weighing it. And so now that we've measured everything and looked at both ends and in and out of all these inputs and outputs, How do you then translate that into real improvement for what the agency is doing? Mr. Harris, why don't we start with you?
Right. You're precisely right that the metrics alone don't generate improvement. They do give you a window. They're a necessary condition because they give you a window into how folks are doing. But what I have found is that it's the analysis performed by both the performance staffs in the agencies and the leadership of the agencies in these meetings that I do with them on a quarterly basis that generates the ideas, the thinking, the strategic investment that produces improvement in the organization. Actually, measuring improvement is the stage that we've now reached, and trying to get a sense of how we are doing. I mentioned earlier that we took a look at fiscal 2011 performance and then benchmarked that performance against the prior 5 years' performance. Now, we don't have 5 years of data for everything that we did. As I mentioned, we've dramatically increased the number of things that we're measuring. But where we had either 5 years of data or any prior years of data, we looked at how we were doing. And it turned out that in about half the cases, we beat all of the prior year's data. In about half the cases, slightly more than half the cases, about 60%, we beat the average of the prior year's data. So that, to me, is a very nice measure of the department improving its performance in 2011 over the past. We would love to benchmark against other organizations, but there's really not another organization out there that does what the Labor Department does, and we can't figure out a way to compete with HUDstat and the folks over at HUD. But we're trying to make sure that we are on the right trajectory within the department. Another thing that we've done is to budget adjust our performance, to try and answer the question, are we doing better simply because we're getting more money? And we did a budget adjustment. And again, in a large majority of our cases, we are beating the average of the prior 5 years. And in about half the cases, we are beating all of the prior 5 years or all the years for which we have prior data. So we think we're doing extremely well, but what we're doing is not resting on our laurels. We got to keep raising the bar, getting the agencies to focus on the places where they are not beating their past performance and answer the question, are we making a choice that we're going to disinvest in this area or do we need to do better?
So some metric eventually translates over to a program manager somewhere and you make sure they know what's going on and then they figure out how to make the improvement.
Right, through the leadership. Our hope is that the leadership will take on the responsibility of working with their SESs, who are really the critical leaders in the organization, and really figuring out where are we going? What are we doing? What are we trying to produce here? Do we need to do more? Do we need to do less? Do we want to beat the prior 5 years? Or maybe this is an area that just is not that important to us, and we need to shift the resources into something that's more important.
And Ms. Danzig, before the break, you started to allude to on the veterans' homelessness and how you were starting to see improvement there. Talk to us more about how you drive metrics into actual improvement processes.
Yeah, so I mentioned the veterans homelessness, which is I was talking with the deputy secretary on the break, and how fortunate we are that we even have a count of homeless people so that we actually have an outcome. As Jason mentioned, it's hard when you work in government sometimes to identify what that outcome metric is, but to be able to very tangibly connect a program where we're providing vouchers to homeless veterans and then seeing fewer homeless veterans on the street is a pretty remarkable, I think, accomplishment. I think to your question, just asking the question is so fundamental to changing behavior and reaching outcomes. So, for example, in our rental housing goal, we asked the question, how do we increase occupancy rates? So if there are public housing units that are offline, why are they offline and what can we do to increase the utilization of those units? And I think prior to that, we were focused on a whole number of things around monitoring and ensuring that folks were keeping up to code and a whole bunch of other compliance exercises. But stepping into a question about how do we utilize and house the most number of people we can over the last 2 years, then we were able to increase almost over 150,000 people, families being housed without additional resources just by asking that question and keeping track of the number of additional units we were creating.
So two things popped up from both your statements. Number one is asking the right question. I think that's one of the hardest things I've heard time and again. And then the money issue, just because you put more money into something doesn't mean you get better outcomes and outputs. So let me just throw a question out there to everyone. Anyone jump in to answer it. How do you make sure you're asking the right question? And what about that money issue, meaning does more money, how do you make sure that more money doesn't necessarily, does or doesn't equal better performance?
I think one of the most important things you got to do is make sure that your stakeholders agree with what you're measuring, that everybody who's invested in this program or activity comes to agreement on its ultimate objective. And then, you know, Tom, one of the things you didn't ask is what programs are failing? These are.
I was going to get to that, but go right ahead.
I mean, Lisa talked about creating a safe environment in which you can discuss success and failure. We don't. This is not. This is a very tough environment in which to have that conversation. But we really do need to open the kimono onto what's failing and what we're going to do differently to improve our performance. And the most important variable there in Washington is money. Where are we going to divert investment to ensure greater performance? And I think we have a real opportunity here. This is an election year where not a lot's going to get done. But it would seem to me an area where the president and the Congress could agree is eliminating things where there's agreement that it's not working and redirect those investments, that precious, scarce resources into more effective uses.
But you said the one thing that's the bigger challenge is agreement, getting the Congress and the president to agree on something that's not working because there's always a political ramification. So let me throw it to Deputy Secretary Harris, our political appointee here. How do you deal with that agreement issue of making sure that, well, if you guys at Labor say, you know, this program just is not having the effect we want it to, but it's in Congressman and Senator X's state that they that brings jobs, and how do you balance that?
It's very difficult, and I wish I had a formula for it, but I don't. I'm going to disagree with Robert slightly about this point. You can be doing an excellent job in an activity that doesn't matter in the least to your stakeholders and constituents. The fact that you're doing an excellent job doesn't mean that that activity should continue. And you can be doing a not very good job in an area that really is at the core of your mission. So the decision about where we cut programs or eliminate programs and where we shift investments to expand or create new programs is not exclusively driven by performance metrics. It's primarily driven by our view and whatever evidence we have about whether or not the activity is contributing to making the lives of working families better. And so that's one of the reasons why, and I'm happy to hear Lisa talking about this in the same way that I talked about it, which is trying to create a safe space where folks can talk about performance. What we want folks to understand is that if a particular activity is not going particularly well, the first question is, how do you make it better, and how important do we think it is? Is it an essential function? Is it a core mission, a core mission function of the organization? The goal should be to use the metrics to get better in the important areas and to shift resources out of the unimportant areas to do better in those core mission functions. How do we get Congress to focus on that is by educating and keeping them informed as we go about how we're doing in all of these areas. I don't make them sit through our quarterly meetings. I'm not sure they would want to, although they would learn a great deal.
But maybe you should.
Well, I'm not sure I'm going to offer it. Let's see. But we want to be able to let them know how we're doing.
All right. We're speaking with Seth Harris, Deputy Secretary of Labor, Lisa Danzig, Director of the Office of Strategic Planning and Management at Housing and Urban Development, and Robert Shea, Principal at Grant Thornton and former Associate Director for Administration and Government Performance at OMB. This is a Federal News Radio discussion about performance improvement under the Government Performance and Results Modernization Act, and we'll have more after the break. I'm Tom Temin, along with Jason Miller, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Hi, this is Wayne Zell, host of Blueprint for Wealth every Saturday at 10 a.m. on 1500 a.m. Federal News Radio. Join me this week for my special guest, Len Wolf, president of The Wolf Group, an international tax and investment advisory firm located in Fairfax, Virginia. Blueprint for Wealth is brought to you by Odin, Feldman & Pittleman, a full-service law firm located in Fairfax, Virginia. Visit us on the web at www.ofplaw.com.
Your new Cocker Spaniel is waiting to meet you, and you don't have to travel very far. This weekend and almost every weekend, Oldies But Goodies Cocker Spaniel Rescue holds at least one adoption show in the greater D.C. area. Find out where we'll be this weekend by checking out CockerSpanielRescue.com. Stop by to meet the many homeless Cockers of all ages who are looking for their new home. These dogs have already been spayed or neutered and have all their shots. For more information on adoption, fostering, or volunteering, visit CockerSpanielRescue.com.
The 2012 Leukemia Ball toasts 25 years of making a difference on Saturday, March 31st at the Washington Convention Center. For its silver anniversary, the 2012 Leukemia Ball will feature performances by legendary classic rock band Foreigner and comedian Sinbad, along with dinner, dancing, the Mercedes-Benz raffle, and a world-class silent auction with travel packages from American Airlines. There are more than 19,000 people in the D.C. metro region living with leukemia, lymphoma, or myeloma. Help the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society cure blood cancer by attending the area's largest one-night non-political black tie gala. They're celebrating 25 years of service, and you're invited.
To purchase a ticket, please call 703-399-2900, 703-399-2900, or visit www.leukemiaball.org. You don't want to miss this great event.
Government IT acquisition professionals get the knowledge you need to meet today's serious challenges. Join over 500 government and industry colleagues at Acquisition Excellence, March 29th at the Grand Hyatt downtown. This education and training event is presented by the General Services Administration and the American Council for Technology and Industry Advisory Council. Registration is limited, so don't wait. Register today at actgov.org. That's actgov.org. Look for the Acquisition Excellence link on the events page.
9:52. Welcome back to our Federal News Radio discussion on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Tom Temin along with Jason Miller. We're getting an update on performance improvement under the Government Performance and Results Modernization Act. Our guests this morning are Robert Shea, principal at Grant Thornton and former associate director for administration and government performance, Seth Harris, deputy secretary of labor, and Lisa Danzig, director of the Office of Strategic Planning and Management at Housing and Urban Development.
So one of the things that we've talked a lot about is performance improvement, and we talked a lot about what you guys have done, are doing. Let's look over the next year. Let me start with Ms. Danzig, since we started on the other end of the show, if people could see. Where do you see performance going at HUD over the next year? What are some of your, if you will, goals?
Sure. I think there's two things that we are very focused on moving forward. Before, you asked us how we found the right question. And I think for us, the right question is fairly straightforward and driven by the mission. The harder part is, what's the evidence to support that question? I think the Deputy Secretary mentioned this as well. So finding that right data and making sure that data is accurate and something that we can pull together is a huge challenge, and something that we're very focused on, creating a business intelligence tool to be able to aggregate data from many grantees and all of our stakeholders, as well as define consistent measures across the organization and look at that in a way that's not overly manual or difficult to aggregate.
And real quickly, do you have some place where that data is? Is there a wiki somewhere or a SharePoint type of situation?
So we aren't at the stage of sharing it yet, but we're still at the stage of compiling and even letting HUD staff be able to look at it and manipulate it. But performance.gov, I think, ultimately will kind of graduate to that as more information is shared on progress on our goals and there's more transparency around that. I think the second area that we're very focused on is making sure that the conversation in these HUDSTAT meetings really is addressing the core issues. So I think there's an inclination to want to get into a show and tell, and you have an opportunity in front of the secretary to kind of show off the good things you've done. So really continuing to create that safe environment and call out the challenges and focus on those to really show value in terms of how we can do problem solving collectively as an agency.
And Mr. Harris, what's next for performance improvement at labor?
I think my answer is going to be very much the same as Lisa's. I would add one word to it, and that is analytics. We have, as we've been talking about, a mountain of data, and we're going to be adding to that mountain over the course of the next 12 to 18 months. But what we really need to be able to do is to dig down into the data and tell us and find out what that data is telling us. We've gotten 2-3 levels in. We've been able to benchmark. We've been able to budget adjust. We really need to get a better understanding of what the data really are showing us about how our organization is performing, so that it becomes actionable. I mean, the key to all of this is having information that allows us to manage better and produce better outcomes for working families. So analytics are going to be the core of what we do, I think, over the course of the next year, leading into the agencies changing the way they operate.
And the final 60 seconds, Mr. Shea from Grant Thornton, what's your view of this, having been at OMB and now in the private sector?
I think there are two risks I see that result from the new law. One is that agencies slavishly adhere to its requirements and OMB regulation. They need to ensure that it's practical, that it's applicable in their environments. The other risk is that it being an election year, there's a tendency not to want to do anything, to freeze in place. What I tell my clients is that the programmatic environment is going to remain largely unchanged no matter what happens. And so they should focus their energies on making sure they get it right in those areas.